Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Jewelry isn't a gift you give just once. It's a way to remind your loved one of a beautiful moment every time they see it. Blue Nile can help you find the gift that says how you feel and says it beautifully, with expert guidance and a wide assortment of jewelry of the highest quality at the best price. Go to BlueNile.com and experience the convenience of shopping Blue Nile, the original online jeweler since 1999. That's BlueNile.com to find the perfect jewelry gift for any occasion. BlueNile.com.
Hi everybody, welcome back to the Gallagher Shots YouTube and podcast channel. We are back with another match preview. Not many left to go, but we are back with a preview for the Burnley away game. I'm Scott, I am your host for this one. And this week, I am joined by Joe, Daryl and Andy. Joe, mate, long time no see on a match preview. Welcome back.
I know.
How are we doing?
I'm doing great, yeah. And I'm finally looking forward to being back on and chatting all things Newcastle with you lads. So, no, great to see your faces.
Good, good. And Daryl, mate, always good to see you. Nice to see you again. Saw you on the match reaction, saw you in the match previews. How are you doing?
I've been getting around a bit this week. Doing well. Just looking forward to the game the weekend ahead.
Nice. And Andy, mate, your fan is, I think he's been pushed back a little bit further in the room. There he is. Has he got a name yet? And how are you doing?
No, we'll leave, I believe they're up to the members, I think, if they want to name the little guy, the little fella behind me.
Comment down below.
It isn't a real fella that I've got locked in my spare room. But I don't know why we've let Joe back, to be honest. I think Nicol was doing fine.
Do you know what it is? We've got a WhatsApp group and it's first to say yes. It's first to say yes. So Nicol was too slow to respond. So sorry, Nicol, if you're watching this, you probably are.
You lads are making me feel so welcome. I'm sorry.
Okay. Next time. We will get into the match preview. Let me know in the comments below what you want to call Andy's little mate. That sounds so wrong, but yeah,
Nicol,
let
me know in the comments below what you want to call him.
Really, we'll get right.
We'll do a little poll. We'll let me know in the comments, and then we'll get two polls to do a little tweet on what you want to call Andy's little mate. You'll not know what the hell's going on when we say that, but anyway.
No context.
But before we get into the preview, as always, here's a little message from our sponsors, Magpin. The Gallagher Shots match preview is brought to you by Magpin. Magpin are the go-to site for high-quality, unofficial enamel pin badges of Newcastle United players, legends and retro kits. For more information, visit their website at magpinbadges.bigcartel.com. You can tell it's end of season, can't you? This has all gone to pot. Right. As I've said, this is a match preview for Burnley. It's on this coming Saturday, the 4th of May. It's another 3 p.m. kickoff. It's at Turf Moor. And you know what a 3 p.m. kickoff means, don't you? It's not on UK TV yet again. 2 weeks in a row, and as Joe reminded me before, we just went live on recording. It'll be 3 weeks next week because it's another 3 p.m. for Brighton, but we'll look forward to that next week. But what's going on? Top six bias, end of the season. Relegation teams don't count. So sorry, Burnley fans. They're not going to televise a game. And, you know, us going for Europe obviously doesn't matter anyway. Anyways, Burnley, 19th in the league on 24 points, 5 wins, 9 draws, 21 defeats. They are on a minus 32 goal difference. That's 38 goals scored and 70 goals conceded. Their last 5, they're not doing too bad, actually. 3 draws, 1 win and 1 defeat. Those draws, they did us a little favour last week. 1 against Man U, 1 against Brighton, and 1 against Wolves. They did get a victory against Sheffield United, but let's be honest, who hasn't? And then a loss against Everton. Sorry, Sheffield United, but however, you didn't do too well last week either. Well, after 20 minutes, you did kind of fall like a deck of cards. And the loss was against Everton, who unfortunately picked up a bit of form of late. As always, I've got a bit of commentator stats for you. Not many. There wasn't many going around, but here we go. This is Eddie Howe's 100th game in charge of Newcastle United, and he has too many more. And he is looking for his 49th victory. What a stat that is. What a percentage that'll be if he does get it. Although his record against Burnley hasn't been too great, so let's see how we get on. A stat not about the teams, but about Alexander Isak, our favourite Swede ever, I think. And sorry to Emil Kraft, but he is. His record against teams who play in claret and blue is currently 5 games played, 7 goals scored in a Newcastle shirt. I don't know about other teams and what colours they wear. So, you know, in a Newcastle shirt, 5 games played, 7 goals scored. So let's hope he can make that 6 games played and 10 goals scored, shall we say? Finally gets, you know, a few more goals under his belt. We'll see. And finally, for me, out of the 6 games played between the two teams at Turf Moor, Burnley have only won 2 of those games with only 1 draw, and Newcastle have won the remaining 3. In the alternative fixture, Burnley have failed to record a single win at St James's Park, where there have been 4 draws and 4 defeats to Burnley. Obviously, that means 4 wins to Newcastle, for those of you who couldn't work that one out. Andy, mate, you've been listening to a few Burnley podcasts. What do their fans think of this fixture? Are they confident?
Well, more confident than I thought they would be, to be honest. Before I really, funnily enough, they were saying they didn't think Newcastle had anything to play for, because when you're down the bottom, you don't care about the top. And likewise, when you're no longer in a relegation fight, you don't really think about who's in the, you don't really pay that much attention to the relegation fight. Yeah. They're only 2 points off safety. I thought they were well long and gone. They've got a last game of the season showdown against Nottingham Forest. Nottingham Forest are playing Sheffield United this weekend, which obviously doesn't mean anything for Sheffield United now. But they're thinking, if Sheffield United can do them a favour and they beat us, they've basically done it. Which, out of nowhere, really, they were absolutely hopeless for the start of the season. What they were saying is that they've just played Man United, deserved to win that game. I don't know if anyone watched the highlights back, but they were just so wasteful, absolutely dominated them. And I know Man United, they sort of play like a mid-table team, but going there and playing the way they did, they really deserve more from it. They were so poor at the start of the season, but said since mid-March, they brought Muric back in goal and they started playing Josh Cullen again in centre midfield. Since then, there's only been 1 loss, like you said before. So they've actually in really good form. One of the issues they're having is they're just not turning the draws into wins. And obviously, when we were down the bottom of the table, you know what it's like. The games that you actually get the goal, you concede and it's 1-1 or it's 2-2 and you never quite get the win. And that's really what they're struggling with. But in terms of confidence levels, they think they can do us over in this game. They think with the crowd behind them, the guy I was watching, he mentioned about our away form. Obviously, he wasn't aware that we had anything to play for. We obviously do, but it's not like we're pushing for a league title or a Champions League place, so there maybe isn't that much behind it. And they really feel like they've put the other relegation teams under a bit of pressure and that they're the ones in the ascendancy. And it's Forest and obviously Luton's to lose at this point. So their tails are up, and I think it'll be quite a tough game, actually.
Yeah, that's the thing, Joe. I think a lot of Newcastle fans probably going into thinking, well, this is an easy win because of where Burnley are on the table. But our away form and our history against the teams in the bottom, especially this season, probably would lead you to believe this isn't an easy game, as maybe, you know, some of the fans on X, as Mark would say, or as on Twitter, would lead you to believe. Would you agree with that?
I think when you look at, I mean, yeah, Burnley, obviously, they're what, second bottom. And as Andy said, they're only 2 points off survival, so they've got a lot to play for. And, I mean, so do we. So you've got to think it's actually teed up to be quite a good you know, attacking game. Burnley, obviously, they've struggled all season, but as you mentioned earlier, their form's actually kind of picked up. Like, yeah, they have had a lot of draws, but, you know, they're against good teams like Chelsea, like Wolves, you know, Brighton. Obviously, Brighton hit and miss. But then, I mean, Man U, I mean, yeah. So they're doing quite well. And I think looking back on some of their recent results, it's just been a case of they've been the masters of their own downfall. They've made little mistakes, whether it's a short back pass, whether it's Murich literally letting it slip under his foot. So, you know, maybe their recent form is actually doing them a bit of disservice as just how much improvement they've had. Having said that, though, I mean, they're still leaky. They're still open to mistakes. So I would anticipate that an in-form Isak's going to have their absolute life on Saturday. I still think we'll have enough to do it. But yeah, no, this is definitely a harder game than I think a lot of people are probably anticipating it's going to be. I think we'll still do well.
Yeah, and Daryl, obviously, you know, the reverse fixture at St. James, as I mentioned earlier, they haven't recorded a single win at St. James's Park. Do you want to talk us through that reverse fixture and how it went down?
Yeah, so that reverse fixture came at the very end of September last year. And that was right in that run of games where we played PSG at home in the Champions League, you know, around about the time that we beat Sheffield United 8-0 down at Bramall Lane as well. And we won the game against Burnley at St. James's 2-0 with an early-ish goal from Almiron after a quarter of an hour. And then Alex Isak, the man you mentioned before about scoring against teams in claret and blue, he rounded off the scoring with a 76-minute penalty in the second half. But yeah, I mean, we were in a good run of form at that point in the season. And do you know what? In the last 5 or 6 weeks, our form has actually really picked up. And as much as there's been a lot of chaos in those games, you know, we've come out on top in a few of them now. And the only defeat we've had in the last few weeks has been that Crystal Palace one, which was... The timing of it makes it really disappointing compared to all the other teams that we've been playing and beating. And again, we come into this game, we've already mentioned there about the away form. It's such a cause for concern at the minute. And for me, if I was thinking about how to plan for this game, I'd be looking to soak up as much Burnley pressure as possible. And as we've seen in other games recently, I'd be looking to hit them on the break. And we have that pace up front. We have Barnes, we have Gordon, we have Isak. Whether or not we know if Miguel Almiron's back is another story. And we also have Jacob Murphy as an option as well. It's going to be on how we can... I think it's definitely going to be a counter-attacking kind of game. Burnley are susceptible to that as well, I think. And as much as they... You know, Vincent Kompany, after giving praise, he tries to play a progressive game. He just doesn't have the quality of player to act out his philosophy. It's going to be interesting. And to be honest, on the grand scheme of things, I could imagine we'll probably see a similar scoreline to the reverse fixture at St. James's.
Yeah, it's a weird one, Burnley. You know, Andy, Daryl just mentioned that the company maybe doesn't have the personnel available that he wants to play the style that he wants, but they do have some decent players, Burnley, and you know, there's a few matchups with our players that, you know, you'd probably single out, and you've been taking a look at some of the players, and you know, you've got a few players that you've identified. So why don't you run us through some of the Burnley players that maybe you think could cause us a few troubles, shall we say?
Yeah, well, ironically, in the reverse fixture, it was Collie Oshaw who was absolutely having our life for like large parts of the game. Thankfully, he has been... Well, thankfully, it sounds horrible. He's been injured. Thankfully for us. The main battle, I think, is going to be middle of the park. And I know that's a very easy thing to say in every game. But certainly from what I've seen of Burnley and what I've heard from the Burnley fans, they've said Sanderberg has been the player of the season alongside Josh Cullen. Sanderberg was the one who they signed from Sheffield United right before the season started. And Sheffield United were going, what the hell are we doing? It's our best player. We're selling him to a relegation rival. And obviously... midfield has been an area that we've really struggled this season. Bruno's obviously carried the entire midfield on his back, and as much as we loved Miley when he came in, as much as we, you know, we like Willock and obviously Longstaff at times, the midfield's obviously been a bit overrun and it's looked a bit leggy. But one thing I will say about Burnley is that they do play, very funnily enough, to still play 4-4-2 now, even though Kompany's took over.
Good old Burnley, yeah.
Yeah, 4-4-F-2 as they say. I think the midfield battle will be tough, but also obviously a team that plays 4-4-2, you're often expecting, you know, bombing fullbacks and lots of wide players. So I think Byrne will be, Hall, whoever plays left back, is going to be very busy against Lyle Foster if he decides to go out there. So it's a tricky one. It's funny you mentioned about Company and not having the players. I think technically they're all quite good. The issue is just the youth, I think. When I was just looking into Burnley in the squad, I was flicking through to see the age of them all. And I thought, bloody hell, there's not a single player here over the age of 28. Cullen was the oldest player in the team against Man United. So I looked into it. And the on the sort of average ages of the starting 11s, and Burnley's the youngest starting 11 in the Premier League, and Chelsea being the second youngest. And obviously, we know about Chelsea, we know about Burnley, very up and down, very unpredictable. And weirdly, I didn't expect this, we were third off bottom in terms of the age. So we're actually quite an old team, which I didn't really think, but I guess we are. So one thing that I think might work in our favour is, even though there are going to be these battles across the pitch, have these lads really been in a high intensity situation other than, you know, last season in the Championship, they obviously did really, really well, coasted along and beat everyone. But have they been in a situation like this where it's desperation? And will they be able to handle it? I think they will, because Company is a good manager and good man manager. And I don't know if any of you have seen the Burnley documentary that was on Sky that they did about them coming up from the Championship. But you can tell that they all rally behind him and they all really back Company, all the players. So, yeah, I think it'll be a good game. I think there'll be battles all across the pitch, and we just got to not take them lightly.
I think it's testament to the fact that he's not been sacked yet as well. You know, like, yeah, you see so many teams at this point. I mean, Sheffield, they've went through manager.
Well, they went back to a manager and already sacked,
didn't they? Yeah. Well, exactly, yeah. So, you know, it's a testament to Burnley. So, fair play to them.
Not been many seconds this year, really, has there, weirdly?
Not really, uncharacteristic.
Not compared to last season. I think
last season was mental.
Yeah, Joe, so as Andy mentioned, obviously Colioso we think might be injured, but again, according to the site that I have, it is potential his return could be at the weekend, so we don't think he'll probably start, but he may be on the bench. Other injuries they've got: Aaron Ramsey, you've got Jordan Bayer, you've got Nathan Redmond, you've got Alda Cahill, are all out. So they do have a few injury lists, obviously not as bad as what we've had, but
yeah, my heart bleeds.
Yeah, the hard beats for them. But they have got some big names out. You know, Nathan Redmond, a player that I always admired. I think he was at Southampton, if I remember rightly.
Yeah, he was.
Really,
yeah.
Good player for them. Yes.
A player that I actually thought we could have had a good run with had we went for him when Southampton got relegated. And we all know the dangers that Aaron Ramsey can pose for you. And then you look at us, and obviously the list that we have, There's some big names out for both teams, which will have a big impact on the game.
Yeah, I was looking at the lineups from the reverse fixture that I think Daryl mentioned earlier, and actually the midfield three that we had in that fixture will likely be exactly the same. It was Bruno, Longstaff, and Anderson, and I remember Anderson having a really good game. You know, physicality in midfield and stuff—the kind of thing that he's shown over the last few weeks. Obviously, the back line was completely different. We had like Pope in there, we had Trippier, we had Lascelles. Like, I think it was Botman in there. Anna, like, rest in peace to all these blokes. Like, don't even know what they look like now.
They're not deep.
They might as well be.
That's harsh.
Oh no! I'm looking forward to seeing them return from the dead in August. But no, there are a lot out for both teams. But you know, I think one thing that's nice is that we're getting like the one or two players back. You know, just off the bench. Like I think, and again, Darren mentioned earlier, Miggy Almiron might be back. Hopefully, you know, like Barnes barely even made an appearance last weekend. You know, he might well start. So that leaves Murphy to come off the bench. We're seeing just a few more things come back. Yeah, so it's nice to have a plan B, you know. But the lads who have been taking us through this difficult spell since like November, you know, this revolving door that we've had, have done so well. So I think, you know, and obviously Wilson, who could forget about Wilson coming back as well? I still anticipate Isak's going to start, but it's always good to give him a bit of rest. And you know, or basically what's going to happen is Isak will score a brace. He's not allowed to score a hat-trick, so he'll get taken off for Wilson, and then he'll score another four. I think it's definitely going to be a bit of a B team for both sides, but you know, we've shown that we can do it.
Absolutely, we have. And Daryl, we'll talk a little bit about our starting 11, and more importantly, the back line. Obviously, mm-hmm. we saw Fabian Schär come off. Well, it was half time, but it probably should have been about 15, 20 minutes, as we talked about yeah. in the match reaction. Obviously, we are doing this, as always, before Eddie Howe's press conference. We do have to reiterate that every single week. We
should start doing these after the press conference, really, shouldn't we?
If you want to do this on a Friday afternoon, Andy, be my guest. But some of us have jobs. And we have to
like we're going to get anything from the menu, man.
Exactly.
But also, you know, like you can take anything from Eddie Howe. Like, how am I?
Yeah.
Tino Livramento starting at the weekend. But did anyone expect that? No. But, you know, you look at the list of our injuries and then you got to think, well, if Fabian Schär doesn't make it, are we going to see a Kraft and Dan Byrne, you know, makeshift centre-back pairing? And then is it going to be, well, we know Trippier's off to Dubai, so he's not going to be, he's not going to be even anywhere near the bench. So is it going to be just a makeshift Tino and Hall again, or is it going to be a back three? What are we going to do? How do you see it lining up?
I think, you know, as much as Fabian Schär will probably tell Eddie Howe that he's fit to go, I'm going to go on the premise that he doesn't make it. So my back four would be Tino, Kraft, Byrne and Hall. I wouldn't necessarily change it to a back three. We just need that solid foundation because we need to be able to soak up what Burnley will try and throw at us. And the best way we can do that is by having the back four in place. And yeah, that inevitable Kraft and Dan Byrne at the back, partnership's going to be running wild, I think, down at Turf Moor. And then, you know, as Andy mentioned before, the midfield three pretty much picks itself. That's a goer. It's a given, really, I should say. You can't deviate from that at all because we just haven't got the personnel available. Front three for me could be interesting. I really didn't want to see Murphy start last weekend after what happened at Crystal Palace. Still feel that way. I want to see Barnes, Gordon, Isak as my front three on Saturday.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Yeah, it's interesting because Andy, obviously, both Daryl and Joe have mentioned that Miggy has been seen in training. I don't think he'll start, personally. I think it may be too soon for him, but it's an option now and quite a big impact option when you think of Miggy's pace. But if it is Murphy and probably Gordon starting, you've now got Barnes and Miggy to bring on left and right. That's a hell of an impact now to bring on off the bench. You know, on the wings. And then you've got to factor in Callum Wilson to bring on as well. Attacking options now, we seem to have an abundance of them.
That's all right, isn't it? Yeah.
I mean, nice.
Yeah. I mean, wind the clock back to the first game of the season, which I think Daryl thought
last week.
where we were obviously 4-1, 5-1 up against Villa. And we were 4-1 up, then brought on Wilson and brought on Barnes and then scored again. And it was like, bloody hell, our squad's great. And I think that combination of Barnes and Wilson seems to be quite a weird little bench partnership that we've got going on. Because even last week, just gone, Barnes came on, played that lovely little sort of flick pass over the top to Wilson. And he absolutely swazzed that top corner. It wasn't sort of Wilson-esque finish, was it? Actually put his laces through it, which he doesn't normally do. But it's grand. It's nice, and like Joe mentioned before, just the fact that we're looking at the bench and actually know who all these people are, rather than them just sounding like Football Manager regents. you mentioned Almiron. I think when he's not in the side, he gets a lot of stick. I think people forget what he brings to the team sometimes. I know technically he's not great, and obviously we all remember like the Milan game when he just had to stick his right foot in instead of like writing a 30-page thesis on why he should use his left foot for everything. I think we forget sometimes about his running and his tactical awareness. I think he's quite an intelligent footballer, even though I don't know whether it's just because he still doesn't speak English that we don't really know much about him like as a person, if you know what I mean. It's sort of weird with Almiron. He's kind of this like outsider in the group.
He's an enigma.
He's a bit of an enigma, and I think he kind of gets the tag as just being this idiot that runs around, but actually think he's quite a smart footballer. And even though he's quite limited, we've seen him score like unbelievably technically good goals. He's still a really good footballer. And before anyone jumps down my throat, I do know that in the summer, that right wing is probably where we need to improve in the front line, because the drop off in quality from Gordon to Isak to Murphy or Almiron is ridiculous. But, you know, at the end of the day, and Almiron was responsible for my favourite goal ever, which was the PSG first goal. So I'll just always love him for that, I think.
Do you know what throws me about Miggy every single time? He's 30 year old. I still kind of believe he's 30. It's like, how are you 30 year old? You still look 12. And I still remember signing you and thinking, wow, is he a little young? He's going to be here for years. He's 30 year old. You're thinking, wow, okay.
He's been with us for ages. But I mean, if you think about, like, obviously all the players we talk about who've improved under Howe, Almiron became like this complete meme where he hadn't scored. And then he scored one goal against Palace and we were like, oh, like, couldn't believe it. And then the patch of scoring, like, well, he scored like six games in a row and they were all worldies.
Scored a worldie against Burnley reverse fixture this season. You know, you're still doing it at the start of this season. Yeah. I think with Miggy, like, I mean, the problem is we didn't really have much of a plan B on that right-hand side, so people figured him out real quick. I think it was more of a problem with the system and the fact we didn't have the personnel more than anything else. But now we've got Barnes and Gordon who can fill in, and Murphy's done okay. So I love Miggy. Mm. He's great.
Finesse shot specialist. Before we move on to our predictions, obviously we can't forget about the most important part of the match previews, and that is ref watch. Exactly, the feature that everybody tunes in for, the only feature that people watch us for, the one that people skip for through all of the crap that we talk about for this one thing, and that is ref watch. So, Daryl, mate, take it away. Let us know the deets for ref watch this week.
Okay, right. So for the Burnley game on Saturday at Turf Moor, we have Anthony Taylor from Altrincham Greater Manchester. So we all pretty sure we all yes, exactly, Andy, he's bald.
Cannot be a Man U fan.
Well, it's questionable. We have we're getting a bit more accustomed to this now, so I don't need to go too much into him, but it's going to be his fourth game of the season with NUFC. And funnily enough, they've all been away from St. James's Park. Every game he's done with us has been away from home. So those previous games include the 2-2 draw at Wolves, the 4-2 loss at Anfield, and the 3-2 win at Nottingham Forest.
How many times has he booked Bruno?
Ooh, that's a good question.
There's a stat for future ref watchers.
Yeah, we'll have to remember that. I'm going to say out of those, I would probably guess at least two.
Probably.
Two. I'll take you with
I'll take you
with it. Just an educated guess, let's say. So Anthony Taylor is actually one of the most senior officials in the Premier League at present. And he's actually recorded the most number of games and most appearances for any referee this season. He's had
did he do a Champions League final? I think he was a champ. Didn't he do the Champions League final one year? I feel like maybe a Euros.
He's had 24 appointments in the Premier League this season. In those 24 games, he's dished out 124 yellow cards, as we remember. Two of those were for Bruno, and he's also dished out three red cards as well. So in terms of when you look at the averages, I think it's probably just about on the average. It's around about four cards. Like most referees average of four yellow cards a game this season. And the VAR for this one will be John Brooks, a.k.a. Brooksy, from previous incarnations of audio in certain games, which Howard Webb's gone over with Michael Owen. They've been going over the certain VAR decisions and trying to explain them. So John Brooksy is going to be the VAR official for this one.
That's not a good sign if they've had to go over his audio in the past. And he's back on VAR. Great.
Nice.
Excellent.
We'll see how it goes.
Yeah, we'll see how that goes. Well, we'll come on to our predictions for this one. And Joe, as you haven't been on for so long, I'm picking on you first. What's your prediction for this one? Oh, wow. I'm all right then.
I guess I'll do it. I'm going to go for an uncomfortable 2-0 win. Looking back at like the likes of, you know, the Palace game was difficult. I think about Fulham as well, Bournemouth, where we struggle. But I think we'll just have too much for this Burnley side. Like I said, they're a massive of their own downfall. They keep making sloppy decisions. Midfield, I think we'll batter them in midfield. And Isak is just in the form of his life. So I think he's going to get both goals. So, yeah, roll on.
Roll on the golden boot for Isak then. Andy, mate, are you as confident as Joe? Well, he was confident with the scoreline, maybe not with the game itself.
Fine.
Kevin and Perry. Kevin and Perry on the right-hand side there.
Look at it. Which one's which?
I'll let the comments decide which one's Kevin and which one's Perry.
Be kind.
I agree that it's going to be uncomfortable. I think, I don't know whether all these Burnley fans have just got misplaced confidence, but they've really got the tails up for this season. So, and obviously away from home, we are just dog. So I really, it needs to be one of these away games where we just turn up and put the pressure on. And I think Daryl's completely right when he says that we're going to have to soak up a bit of pressure. And there's going to be a couple of shrugged shoulders and arms in the air from, you know, from Bruno and people like that. I just think it's going to be one of them. I was thinking 2-2, but it's getting to that crunch point in the season, and I think Eddie will really get them fired up for this. I think even if we have a poor start, we've seen in recent weeks that Eddie can give them a right kick and a right effing blind at them. So I'm going to say 2-1. I know they've only scored 38 goals this season, Burnley, but we're just the sort of team to just give a team away from home that chance. So I'm going to say they'll score first. Eddie will give them a big kick. And then, yeah, may as well just say Isak gets 2 goals, which I think puts him on equal par with Haaland.
Yeah, will do, yeah. I think one thing we have mentioned as well is Eddie Howe's old stomping ground. I can't believe we went the whole thing without mentioning that. So maybe he will be up for it just for that as well. Or maybe he doesn't want to rub salt in the wounds and try and relegate his old side. We'll see. Daryl, mate, what's your prediction for this one?
So, yeah, I'm actually a bit of a combination of both Andy and Joe there, and I think it would be quite an uncomfortable 2-1 win for Newcastle. Again, as I mentioned before, you know, it'll be a lot of pressure that we're going to have to soak up. And the reason I think Burnley will score is because I think if we have that combination of Dan Burn and Kraft in the middle, in the back four, then I think it might just be prone to leaking a goal. And again, I think, you know, it's been mentioned, Andy mentioned it really well, that, you know, they are prone to a mistake or two at Burnley. So I think we'll be able to capitalise on that. And again, I just really think that we can go there, sit and hit them on the break and really hurt them on the break as well. But again, because of our lack of options in certain areas of the pitch, it will be a tight game. But yeah, 2-1 to Newcastle. And for me, I'm going to go Isak 1 and Gordon 1 for the goals.
There we go. Well, I think Burnley will really bring the game to work. I think that they're fighting for their lives, and rightly so. But I think we're going to see a very similar game play out to the Sheffield United game that we've just seen, where, you know, we're probably going to be caught by surprise by just how much Burnley do bring it to it. And I think we're probably going to go 2-0 down in the first half, very, very similar to the Sheffield United game. But I think they're going to run out of steam. Maybe it's in the second half, but I think we'll probably be 2-0 down at half-time. But I think we probably will pick ourselves up again. And like Andy said, we'll probably get a good old Eddie Howe bollocking at half-time. And we'll see a completely different side in the second half. I hate watching those games, but I think that's how it'll be. And I think it will end 3-2. A 3-2 victory to Newcastle. I'm obviously not just going to say 3-2 and then leave it at that. But yeah, 3-2. Mm-hmm. A 3-2 win to Newcastle. And I think we're finally going to see an Alexander Isak hat-trick. I think he's going to want that goal.
He deserves it, thank
you. My FPL will thank it. You for that.
So will mine. I've got him as well. And I actually think I'm captaining him this week because
I might as well.
I'm that brave.
I might.
Yeah.
I said he's going to score both, so I have to now.
Yeah. Just as a final thing on this game, by the way, Sheffield United are playing at 3 o'clock at the same time against Forest. So if Sheffield United go up in that game, it could be a bit of last day of the season feeling almost, where
almost,
if,
yeah,
you know, Forest are losing and the fans get behind them, that could be a bit tough as well. So I just wanted to mention that because it could be one of those relegation six-pointers.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, let us know in the comments below what you think your predictions are. Let us know what you think, how you think the game will go. Do you think we are talking sense, or do you think we're talking loads of codswallop as usual? Well, your opinions, of course. We obviously don't think that. Well, maybe we do. I don't know. I haven't asked anybody else. But let me know. And while you're down there, if you want to subscribe, you can hit the little subscribe button. And when you do that, a little bell appears next to that button. And when you hit that bell, you will be notified when new videos go live on this channel. And if you want to go one step further, we do have a membership program. It's $2.99 a month, and that gets you early access to videos like this one, as well as access to the Discord server and the Telegram group. Boys, I've enjoyed this one. I'm looking forward to this game.
Can I just jump in just for a quick second?
Darryl.
So I was reading up on a few things for this game, and some travel advice for anybody who's still listening to us who is also going about the game. So I've made this trip a few times in the past now, and the main way to get there is to take the A59, which is from the top of Harrogate across the top of Skipton, and then down through I think it's Clitheroe and that way into Burnley that way. That road is closed between Skipton and Blubberhouses because of a landslip. And I think if my geography and memory serves me rightly, that part of the road is the bit where it goes through the gorge. And it's quite a dicey road. I've made that trip back from Burnley on a Monday night before, and that road is quite scary to drive through in the pitch black. But that road is closed. So anybody who may be driving down or on a bus to Burnley may need to think about an alternative route.
Road watch.
There you are. He doesn't just do trains. He's on the AA.
Trains, trains, and automobiles.
Red cards, yellow cards, road signs, whatever you want. Red lights, everything. So there you go. Travel updates from Darryl. If you want his mobile number, just send her a DM and I'll give you that personally on the Gallagher Trots channel as well. It's $2.99 a month for Darryl's number. And you can text him right up till 10 p.m. He'll send you text messages. Whenever you want, yeah. If you need that. But anyway, we will leave it at that. We will all see you in the next one. Hopefully, we can get another 3 points, another step closer to that passport stamp for Europe next season. Fingers crossed, and hopefully, Manu slip up as well, so we can secure that Europa Conference League champion spot, and even get closer to a, what's it called now, the UEFA Cup. I'm still calling it the UEFA Cup. The UEFA Cup spot. I'm old school. We'll still call it that. But we'll see you all in the next one. We'll see you then. Bye bye.
Bye bye.
Social Podcast Network.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.